welcome to a special episode of Music for Life, a program which explores the purpose and value of music to humanity's enrichment. I'm Ryan Malone, concert manager for Armstrong Auditorium and host of this program. This is another one of our special episodes that I've titled Pre-Concert Talks. These episodes, only 1 hour long instead of our usual 2 hour format, will air the week of a concert at Armstrong Auditorium here in Edmond, Oklahoma. And we are coming up on another stirring event here at Armstrong. This is the British Grenadiers, performed by the Band of Irish Guards, a segment of the British military bands that performed here at Armstrong years ago. Returning to Armstrong will be another component of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II's military ensemble, the Band of Royal Marines, performing on Sunday, February 14th, 2016. This episode will serve as a pre-concert talk for that performance. In it, we will explore the musical ensembles of the British military, their symphonic bands, and their pipe and drum corps, plus the two specific ensembles coming to Armstrong, the Band of Royal Marines, and the pipes and drums of the Scots Guards. As stated in our first few pre-concert talk episodes, where we discussed the upcoming performances of Joshua Bell, Gerard Schwartz, and Sarah Santambrosio at Armstrong, it's quite common for concert halls to provide printed program notes for concert goers. Occasionally, some will even provide pre-concert lectures, where patrons can go into the hall early and hear about that evening's program. Now consider this episode one of those lectures, but one that can be consumed in an audio format such as this. Again, for this pre-concert talk, or these program notes, we will talk about the two celebrated ensembles from the British military that are coming to perform here at Armstrong. The military of any given country often will have a group of personnel that performs musical duties for military functions. Military bands supply first-class music for any military or state event, not merely as entertainment, but actually to contribute to morale, highlighting that nation's traditions and building a sense of pride and identity within the military and the nation. Service bands, as they are often called, act as a sort of ambassador or public face for a nation's armed forces. Whether they are marching through the streets, performing at state ceremonial occasions, or performing in concert halls, they tend to draw positive attention for that nation. Military bands are common throughout the world today in countries like France, Russia, Australia, New Zealand, Malaysia, and Singapore. Military bands are an important part of these nations' military services. Military bands are common in the United States as well. Five major branches of the U.S. military, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard, each contain at least one musical ensemble. Many are assigned to specific military bases around the world or units across the United States. The Navy and Marines each have two major bands, the Air Force has over a dozen, and the Army has 34. Of all these bands throughout the different branches, 10 of them are considered premier bands. 4 of those are in the Army alone. For example, the United States Army Band, the United States Army Field Band, the United States Military Academy Band, and the Old Guard Fife and Drum Corps. The military personnel in these ensembles are well-trained musicians, often coming from prestigious musical conservatories and schools of music. They perform in parades, presidential inaugurations, state funerals, state arrival ceremonies, and even in concert. You may be familiar with the American composer John Philip Sousa, who wrote famous military marches, including Stars and Stripes Forever, Semper Fidelis, and The Washington Post. Sousa brought the performance level of America's military bands to a much higher level than it ever had been before. We'll talk about the military's impact on music history in a future program, but this is just to give you an idea of how military bands are comprised, using the United States as an example. This will be helpful, I think, as we lead into our discussion of the British regiment bands. What also might be helpful, to get some historical context here, is that though military bands are quite prevalent around the world today, these ensembles are not exclusive to our present day or even more recent history. The idea of music accompanying a military engagement can be found back in the Old Testament. There's the account of musicians going out in front of the armies of Judah to sing praises to their God. There's the common use of the Levitical silver trumpets in Israel's battles. And you could even count, as a military band per se, the blowing of 300 ram's horns by Gideon's small army, even though those shofar served less of a musical function. But the modern tradition of military bands is said to be traceable back to the 13th century Ottoman Empire, to a group known as the Mehters, M-E-H-T-E-R-S. The Mehter band would accompany the marching Ottoman soldiers into battle with as many as 400 to 500 musicians. The quick pace of their booming drums, one resembling a giant timpani, another a small kettle drum, and a variety of other percussion instruments, were intended to unnerve the enemy, perhaps much like those 300 shofar did with Gideon's army. While the sounds of other instruments in the ensemble, the oboe-like woodwind instrument commonly used in Turkish folk song, would inspire feelings of nationalism and sovereignty for those serving in the army, and it was intended to arouse courage within these soldiers to defend their nation. The notion of a military band fashioned after what was established in the 13th century Ottoman Empire was popularized around the 16th century. In fact, the sound associated with these Mehters influenced many European classical composers such as Franz Joseph Haydn, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, and Ludwig van Beethoven to experiment writing music in the style of the Mehters. With the decline of the Ottoman Empire came the decline of the musical styles associated with the Mehters, and by the mid to late 19th century, this music was nearly obsolete. But the idea of militaries employing parts of their personnel for musical functions did not become obsolete. Some of the most prestigious military bands in the world today are that of the United Kingdom. Its militaristic triumphs in a number of major decisive wars throughout history have thrusted Britain to global influence, allowing it to establish itself as one of the world's leading military and economic powers. The military bands of the United Kingdom have also received international attention from their recordings and their sold-out performances worldwide. The British Regiment as a whole, which serves the British throne, has a total of 51 infantry battalions and 19 regiments stationed throughout the United Kingdom, that is, England, Scotland, and Northern Ireland. There are 23 bands of the regular army stationed in these UK locations. These include the Royal Artillery Band based in Wiltshire, the Band of the Scots Guards based in central London, which performed at Armstrong Auditorium back in February of 2013, and the Band of Irish Guards, also based in London, which performed on our series back in February 2010, just to name a few. These military bands are classified generally as wind bands or symphonic bands, made up of instruments that require air to be blown through them, along with percussion instruments as well. These wind and brass instruments include woodwinds like flutes, piccolos, clarinets, saxophones, and bassoons, brass instruments like cornets, trumpets, bugles, trombones, euphoniums, horns, and tubas. The percussion section may include snare drums, bass drums, tenor drums, cymbals, and sometimes glockenspiels, or metal-barred xylophones, basically. The Royal Marines Band Service, which is comprised of the Royal Navy and the Corps of Royal Marines, has been using this instrumentation, unique to the British Armed Forces military, since 1903 with the crowning of King Edward VII. I have a recording here of one of these ensembles. This is the Band of the Irish Guards. This track is called Welsh Emblem, and it's a good demonstration of the various sections of the symphonic wind band. You'll hear the percussion section, featured prominently in the introduction, then a chorus of brass instruments, and then a chorus of wind instruments, and then everyone all together. That was Welsh Emblem, and it's a good demonstration of the percussion, brass, and woodwind components of a symphonic band. It was performed by one of the musical ensembles of the British Regiment, known as the Band of the Irish Guards. The Band of the Irish Guards performed on our series here for the Armstrong International Cultural Foundation in the season prior to the opening of Armstrong Auditorium. We had them perform in our multipurpose John Amos Fieldhouse. A few years later, another one of the British Throne's military ensembles came to Oklahoma, the Band of the Scots Guards. And in Armstrong Auditorium, they had a little bit more room to march around in formation, as they do so brilliantly. And now we are coming up on another performance from the Band of Her Majesty's Royal Marines, an ensemble of the British military on its 2016 North American tour. Back when these two other military contingents performed on our series, the Band of Irish Guards and the Band of Scots Guards, each of these wind bands also toured with a pipe and drum corps. This is an important component of the British military's musical ensembles as well. The pipe and drum corps consists of bagpipes, particularly the Great Highland bagpipes, native to Scotland, as well as the Highland snare drums, bass drums, and single tenor drums. The pipe and drum corps are divided into two sections, the bagpipers under the pipe major and the drummers under the drum major, though the drum major usually has overall command of the pipes and drums. The contingents of pipes and drum corps within the British Regiment include the following, and there's more than these, but these are the most notable. The pipes and drums of the Royal Scots Dragoon Guards, the pipes and drums of the 1st Battalion of the Scots and Irish Guards, the pipes and drums of the Black Watch, and the pipes and drums of the Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders. Today, in addition to their musical role, pipers and drummers are fully operational infantry soldiers and carry out the roles of infantry assault engineers and tactical intelligence specialists. On operations or training, the tradition continues with each company having at least one piper attached to it. I have a recording here of the pipes and drums of the Black Watch. This is a medley of sorts, combining the tunes Roses of Prince Charlie, Ye Jacobites by Name, The 42nd, Gillycollum, and Rose Among the Heather. And this is a good demonstration of several common elements in this music. The timbre of the drums, the drones of the bagpipe, the low pitch that holds throughout long sections or an entire piece, plus some wonderful harmonizing among the bagpipes as well. That is, different pipers playing different parts, not just all on the same exact series of pitches. So here's an example of some great playing. You are listening to a special episode of Music for Life on KPCG. I'm Ryan Malone, concert manager for Armstrong Auditorium and host for the program. We are discussing Her Majesty's Band of Royal Marines and the pipes and drums of the Scots Guards, both of which will be performing at Armstrong Auditorium here in Edmond, Oklahoma, Sunday, February 14th, 2016. This program is another of our pre-concert talks for the various performances we'll have throughout the season at Armstrong. That was a medley performed by a pipe and drum corps, that is, the Highland Bagpipes of Scotland and the Highland Drums. That particular ensemble was the Pipes and Drums of the Black Watch. That was one of the groups that appeared on the Armstrong International Cultural Foundation's Performing Arts Series years ago. The other time a British regiment ensemble came here, we had the Pipes and Drums of the Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders. So we're talking about these different musical ensembles of the British military. In addition to serving musical functions at military and state events, many of these British military ensembles also tour the world as ambassadors for the United Kingdom, performing for sold-out audiences worldwide. A performance in Boston back in 1872 by the Grenadier Guards marked the first time the Band of the Guards performed in the United States, and they have been touring North America ever since. British bands began touring coast to coast in 1955 with the Band of the Scots Guards and the pipes and drums of the 1st and 2nd Battalion Scots Guards, accompanied by the Highland Dancers. Since that time, the military bands of the British throne have performed in prestigious venues all across the United States. One notable example, the pipes and drums of the Black Watch performed in November 1963 for President John F. Kennedy in the White House just 9 days before the president's assassination. The performance had such an impact on the family that Kennedy's widow, remembering her husband's love for their music, requested that these pipers break their tour to take part in the president's funeral procession. The recordings of the British regiments have also achieved international acclaim. In 1972, one of the regiments, the Royal Scots Dragoon Guards, made a recording of Amazing Grace that stayed at number one on the Billboard charts for 5 weeks. The success of this recording was a defining moment for pipe bands and pipe music because of the worldwide attention it received. In 2008, the Royal Scots Dragoon Guards recorded Spirit of the Glen, which was nominated for the Classical Brit Awards. The Band of Royal Marines recorded a moving track on their 2011 album Summon the Heroes. This track put musical accompaniment to a recording of King George VI's famous September 3, 1939 radio address. This track is called The King's Speech on the Outbreak of War.
In this grave hour, perhaps the most fateful in our history, I send to every household of my people, both at home and overseas, this message, spoken with the same depth of feeling for each one of you as if I were able to cross your threshold and speak to you myself. For the second time in the lives of most of us, we are at war. Over and over again, we have tried to find a peaceful way out of the differences between ourselves and those who are now our enemies. But it has been in vain. we have been forced into a conflict, for we are called with our allies to meet the challenge of a principle which, if it were to prevail, would be fatal to any civilized order in the world. It is the principle which permits a state, in the selfish pursuit of power, to disregard its treaties and its solemn pledges, which sanctions the use of force or threat of force against the sovereignty and independence of other states. Such a principle, stripped of all disguise, is surely the mere primitive doctrine that might is right. And if this principle were established throughout the world, the freedom of our own country and of the whole British Commonwealth of Nations would be in danger. But far more than this, the peoples of the world would be kept in the bondage of fear, and all hopes of settled peace and of the security of justice and liberty among nations would be ended. This is the ultimate issue which confronts us. For the sake of all that we ourselves hold dear, and of the world order and peace, it is unthinkable that we should refuse to meet the challenge. It is to this high purpose that I now call my people at home and my peoples across the seas, who will make our cause their own. I ask them to stand calm and firm and united in this time of trial. The task will be hard. There may be dark days ahead, and war can no longer be confined to the battlefield. But we can only do the right as we see the right, and reverently commit our cause to God. If one and all we keep resolutely faithful to it, ready for whatever service or sacrifice it may demand, then, with God's help, we shall prevail. May He bless and keep us all.
That was the ensemble of the British regiment known as the Band of Royal Marines. That band, in that track we just heard, accompanying a recording of King George VI's famous 1939 radio address, is the same ensemble of the British regiment that will be performing at Armstrong Auditorium on Sunday, February 14th, 2016. They are also touring with the pipes and drums of the Scots Guards. More on them in a moment, but let's talk about the Band of Royal Marines specifically. And I want to talk about their unique uniform. When you think of the British military, you might think of that tall, furry hat known as a bearskin cap. and this is the typical headgear for most of the bands and corps of drums of the British Army, such as the Royal Scots Dragoon Guards and the Irish Guards. But the Royal Marines stand out immediately, as their headgear is, instead of a bearskin cap, a white helmet, known as a white pattern Wolseley helmet. It's commonly referred to as the pith helmet. They also wear full-length dark blue greatcoats, particularly for outdoor performances. The majority of British military regiments wear red coats, such as the ones worn by the guards outside of Buckingham Palace. Now, the Royal Marines used to wear the red coats until dark blue became their official color at the beginning of the 19th century. So they are a unique-looking regiment even within the British military. The Royal Marine Band's principal role is to provide musical support to the naval service. Within their secondary role, the band's men and women undertake a variety of duties by sea and land on active service. Members of the Royal Marines Band service have been deployed on active duty in all the major conflicts of the last century. In those distinguishing white pith helmets, Royal Marine Bands are celebrated for the quality of their music, visual grandeur, and precision drill. The band's repertoire is diverse, including popular music, contemporary works, and big band. The Corps of Drums bring movement, color, and the tradition of the ceremonial occasions integral to the Royal Marines. Most of the members of this particular band play at least two instruments and are required to perform in wind band, marching band, big band, orchestral, and dance band combinations. They also provide jazz, string, and woodwind ensembles, making the Royal Marines musicians some of the most versatile and adept of all of Britain's military musical ensembles. Here is the Band of Royal Marines performing Britannic Salute from their 2011 Summon the Heroes album. That was Britannic Salute from the 2011 album Summon the Heroes, performed by the Band of Royal Marines, the ensemble of the British military that will be performing here at Armstrong Auditorium on Sunday, February 14th, 2016. Touring with the Band of Royal Marines will be the pipes and drums of the Scots Guards. Now, a few years ago, we had the Band of the Scots Guards, so this is a pipe and drum corps from the same regiment. Here's a little background about this regiment and this ensemble. The Scots Guards were formed to act as the royal bodyguard of King Charles I back in 1642 by the Marquess of Argyll. There is no mention of pipers in the Scots Guards until Queen Anne, later in the 17th century, when she authorized the formation of a Highland company of Scots Guards, which was to include one piper. The Scots Guards wear full Highland dress, that is, what's known as Royal Stuart tartan being what Americans might refer to as a type of plaid, and this would be the best-known tartan of the Royal House of Stuart, and also the personal tartan of Queen Elizabeth II. Also part of this full Highland dress are the blue doublets. Doublets are a man's hip-length fitted buttoned jacket. King George V granted his pipers the privilege of wearing feather bonnets and a red and blue hackle. A hackle is a clipped feather plume attached to military headdresses. Many of the regiments have their pipers wear the blue hackle, though not all of them do. The pipe bags are covered in government tartan, with the exception of the pipe major, who has a blue velvet bag cover with a silver braided edge. The drummers wear bearskin caps and scarlet tunics, embroidered with the fleur-de-lis as a battle honor from the 18th century, unique to the foot guards. The drums are emblazoned, that is, ornamented or inscribed, with all the principal battle honors of the regiment, that is, their achievements in a particular military operation. In this case, it is on the material covering the drums that these honors are emblazoned. Here's a recording of the pipes and drums of the Scots Guards. You'll hear them, in this recording, playing along with the band of the Scots Guards, and this is a common element to these performances, the combination of the symphonic wind band along with the bagpipers and drummers of the pipe and drum corps. This is the Sound of the Pipes.
Thank you.
That was a recording of the pipes and drums of the Scots Guards performing The Sound of the Pipes. They were playing along with the band of the Scots Guards. And this is a common element to the performances of the British Regiment, the combination of the symphonic wind band along with the bagpipers and drummers of the pipe and drum corps. Another interesting element in the performances of these British Regiment ensembles is that of the dancing being showcased. Some members of the pipe and drum corps usually demonstrate some Highland dancing. Scottish Highland dancing was one of the ways old kings and chiefs of Scotland would choose their men of arms. It was a means of testing their strength, stamina, and agility. Throughout the centuries, the Scottish military regiments regularly used Highland dancing as a form of training to build stamina and strength, but this is less common today. The sword dance, also called the Gillycollum, is one of the oldest and most well-known Highland dances unique to Scotland. Tradition says it was named after a Celtic prince, Gillycollum, who was the victor in a fight to the death during the Battle of Dunsinane in 1054. It is said that he crossed his sword over the sword of the defeated and delightfully danced over them. From this point on, this dance of exultation became a tradition among the Highland warriors. Today, the dance is performed over two crossed swords. It generally begins with a slow time dance called a strathspey, followed by a quick time dance called a reel, where the dancer travels counterclockwise around the swords. Here's an example of a sword dance medley performed by the pipes and drums of the Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders. Since this is a podcast, I guess you'll just have to imagine the dancing. You are listening to a special episode of Music for Life on KPCG. I'm Ryan Malone, concert manager for Armstrong Auditorium and host for this program. We have been discussing Her Majesty's Band of Royal Marines and the pipes and drums of the Scots Guards, both of which will be performing at Armstrong Auditorium here in Edmond, Oklahoma, Sunday, February 14th, 2016. This program has been another of our pre-concert talks for the various performances here at Armstrong. So this should give you a good idea of the kind of music to be performed on this program, as well as some of the musical, visual, and historical contexts that go along with this performance. What else can you expect on this concert in terms of specific pieces being performed? Well, you can expect the standard anthems of England, famous songs from the British Isles, well-known tunes like Edward Elgar's Pomp and Circumstance, which you hear at graduations, and well-known medleys like their standard salute to the U.S. Armed Forces. We will end today's program with another example of the pipes and drums of the Scots Guards performing here with a symphonic band. Though it's the same pipe and drum corps that will be performing here at Armstrong, it's not the same symphonic band as we will have the Band of Royal Marines. But this is an example of a typical way these British ensembles conclude their performances on tour. This piece is called March Off, so this is a fitting conclusion to today's program. Thanks for joining me. Have been listening to Music for Life from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus. I'm Ryan Malone. Thanks for joining me.